Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Ah, April at last. And just when you were all clear to enjoy the full fruit of spring, along comes a new season of idiot test on GSN. Sorry, America. However, I know one person who's not, and he is here. Ben Goodie, the host and now executive producer, joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Also ahead, stand by for Harlequin Television, our 2016 Sports Emmy contenders, and the answer to this week's classic trivia question. And just for good measure, Sharknado 4. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in on April Fool's Day 2016. Don't be an idiot. And tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you today by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. You can get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. 64 degrees at the top of the hour. Welcome to the program of Intelligent. And before you send any hate emails or tweets or periscopes or whatever, I am an idiot test fan. No kidding. And I'm thrilled that Ben Gleave is with us, and he will join us shortly. And if you have a question or comment for him or me or anything else about the world of television, give us a ring. Here's the number you use, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio. We've got chat room open as well, SimonApple04 at blogtalkradio.com. Our good friend from Philadelphia, Rick Webb, already in the room. So whether you use the phone or the room, we do hear you because what you say matters. And while the phone is on the air, you connect those by the Facebook timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Ben Gleave is live with us from Los Angeles after these news notes. Harlequin, the famed women's fiction publisher, is making a new television foothold happen through A&E Networks. Under this partnership, Harlequin will co-produce a series of made-for-TV movies, which will debut on A&E, Lifetime, and other A&E-owned services, largely in the romance and mystery genres. Real World Management will put the first film in motion next month. In addition, A&E and Harlequin will co-organize digital series, which may appear on smart TVs and devices like Amazon Fire TV, Chromecast, and Shield. One disclaimer, Amazon runs Audible.com, which is a sponsor of this program. No contest over who leads this year's Sports Emmy nominations contest. ESPN has 40 nominations spread among series and live event coverage, followed by Fox Sports 1 with 27. CBS topped the broadcast networks with 21, 7 for its presentation of Super Bowl 50. NBC and Fox tied with 19 each. The top series was E60 with 8 nominations, with Fox Sports Live, their nightly sports and live presentation, second with 7. The Sports Emmy Awards will be awarded early May from New York in a non-televised ceremony. One sure winner, CBS sportscaster Vern Lundquist, receiving the Lifetime Achievement Award. His next assignment, the 16th hole at the Masters next weekend. One more thing, as Stephen Colbert says every late weeknight, Sharknado 4 will be known as, da-da-da, The Force Awakens. July 31st on Sci-Fi, now you know. Aloha, and that is news notes for today. Like I mentioned, the intro not included, Idiot Test is a terrific game show, and it just received its first Emmy nomination, a daytimer for director Dana Calderwood, who's done so much stuff from Conan O'Brien to Double Dare to Crossing Over with John Edward. Congratulations to Dana and also to another GSN recipient, Brooke Burns, for game show host for her work on The Chase. Idiot Test gets into its third season, and I'm happy to say its third season, a lot of great new things, on April 12th. And joining us live from Los Angeles, you know, with the exclusive, the host and now executive producer, himself, Ben Gleave. Hi, Ben.
How's it going, Simon? Thanks for having me.
Pleasure to have you. And again, congratulations on the first Emmy nomination for your program. Dana deserved it. It was beautifully done.
Thank you. I'm so excited about that. Yeah, Dana Calderwood is a really great guy, wonderful director to work with, and very excited that he's getting that recognition, as is our show. Everybody there works very hard. I think we put on a pretty good show for people to enjoy. So I'm happy to see that that happen. Hopefully it'll increase our exposure even a little bit more.
So now we're heading into season 3. What can we expect? Who are some of the interesting couples that would be confronting all those wonderful brainbusters you got?
Well, you know, we're keeping the core the same, which is our brain teasers and the comedy that the show brings when people get the questions wrong. And I enjoy messing with them. It's sort of my lifeblood. But we've amped it up into a whole nother level this season with our themes and rivalries. We have burlesque dancers versus ballet dancers. We have Rockers versus Country. We have an episode that takes place in the 70s. I have a skinny mic. I have chops and a mustache, and I play a character named Gene Greeburn, and I play a completely creepy 70s game show host. We have an all-nude episode where the contestants are naked, which I think might be a game show first. And
you know, Ben, with that all-nude episode, Dana might get a second Emmy nomination if he gets very creative with it.
No kidding. And there'd be no place for him to put it. It is very intense. I would love it. I would love it. And then we also have 5 celebrity episodes. We have 3 kids episodes. We have kids versus students for one of them. We just have a lot of tricks up our sleeves. We have a scary episode where we built in a bunch of scares into the episode. It's just, we just keep trying to get more and more creative with what we do with the show. And GSN gives us free reign to just go nuts. And as long as we keep the core the same and our tests keep getting better, keep getting more creative and out of the box. So it's really, really fun. I think you'll be really enjoying it. And we're in a new time slot now. Tuesdays at 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. You know, as long as the show has been on the air, you've sort of grown with the show in different ways. First season, you're the host. Second season, you're the host, and you get involved as a producer. Now here we are, season 3, and you are now an executive producer. Why did you decide to take that sort of behind-the-scenes step up and up?
I just can't help it, really. I've always been somebody who gets very immersed in what I do and I put my focus into. I have a lot of passion for the show. I think it's a very unique thing on television to have a show that makes you laugh and makes you think and challenges your brain and that families can watch together, but also there's a lot of the content and jokes in there for the adults, and I just love it. And season 1, I did not have a hand in creating the material and creating the idiot tests, our brain puzzles. And it was frustrating to me to not be able to have that full ownership of each test when I have to go out there and make people feel silly for getting them wrong. So I started in season 2 to be involved in creating the tests and helping improve them, helping make sure they were as sharp as possible. And then season 3, the network offered me to be one of the EPs for that exact reason. And so we have a great, brilliant staff of writers and graphic artists that create the tests, but I create a lot of them from scratch myself, and then I take all the tests and I try to find holes in them, and I try to find, you know, ways where there might be a second possible correct answer so we can make sure we pin it better. I help to suggest art changes and wording changes to the test to make sure they can just be as good as they can be. And then when there's any disagreements, the other EPs and I debate out the tests for sometimes 30, 40 minutes or an hour for one test, to make sure it's as perfect a product as we can before I go out there on television and present it to these contestants and to the home audience. So I'm just too immersed in it, and I love it so much that it was hard for me to do just the hosting.
Mm-hmm. How long did it take to put an idiot test together, one specific brain puzzler, from somebody conceives it to once it goes on the air?
It depends on the test. Some of them fly right through. They're created and they're conceived perfectly right off the bat. And we just, you know, they get initially like crudely arted or sometimes drawn by an artist. And then if everybody likes it, they go to the final art stage and maybe there'll be a note or two. But then the network sees them. Maybe there'll be a slight tweak. And maybe it's, you know, only a few days. But sometimes a test, we will massage it and work it for a few weeks until we get it to that place where we think it's right for air.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a situation where, let's say, one artist or one writer will work on a certain set of idiot tests, and another writer will do another, let's say, a particular category or subject matter, and then you go back and forth in terms of suggestions, tweaks, and then finally you'll put them all together and say, okay, this bunch of idiot tests makes for a good episode. This set of idiot tests will do, you know, another segment.
Yeah, we don't stack them in each episode based on the artist. We just base it on what would be a great stack for an episode. Do they go in increasing order of difficulty? Does it seem fair on each side? Are they about equally matched for every other test to be about equally matched in difficulty? And we try to make sure we don't, you know, use the same style of trick or an answer that kind of is similar in a way, in some way, even tonally or color-wise or any element of it is similar to another test in that show, or at least not too close to it. So we just try to stack interesting shows of 12 tests as opposed to doing it by artist.
Mm-hmm. Ben Glebe is the host and now executive producer of Idiot Test, and it's going into its third season on GSN Tuesday, April 12th, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, two episodes, half hour back-to-back. Ben's live with us on April Fool's Day 2016, live from L.A. Simon Applebaum here with you live from that other coast. Tell us, New York, and we're doing okay. Right here on Tomorrow Be Televised, the program all about television. Happy to have you with us wherever you are across the country, around the world on Blog Talk Radio. If you have a question or comment for Ben, ring it in. 646-652-2906 is the number. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Rick Webb from Philadelphia, already in the room. More unscripted television coming your way on Monday's show. TBS is launching a new series on Tuesday night called America's Greatest Makers. Mark Burnett is one of the executive producers. Intel is involved. And the winner of this very unique contest of brains and inventions will get this, no fooling, $1 million. We'll have one of the other executive producers, Dean Houser, joining us as our lead guest. Also, we'll introduce you to a new series premiering Monday night on BYU TV. It's called Random Acts of Kindness. Think of it as pranks with a heart. We'll talk to the producer, Tom Morell, and we'll talk to one of the hosts, Will Rubio. They'll both join us live. That's coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Now, how do you find the contestants, especially when you're doing a theme episode like the ballet dancers versus the burlesque dancers?
Well, we have a great casting department for our show that does a nationwide search. They hold auditions in person on both coasts, and we just try to find the best people we can. So sometimes I think they'll specifically put out a request for ballet dancers, for example, or for burlesque dancers. And sometimes we get such a huge pool of people that are submitting to be on the show, and we find out a lot about them in pre-interview and find out what their skills are, what their jobs are, what their hobbies might be. And then we try to create sometimes theme episodes from what we already have in the docket.
You know, some game shows have wonderful questions that they're known by. You know, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire is known by, is that your final answer? You've come up in just three seasons with the iconic, what makes you think you're not idiots? You ask that of every pair that's on the show. And it's interesting when you watch the program, some of them answer, like, quite natural, because I have this PhD, because I got this. Or some of the contestants really give you the opportunity to zing them because they give you the craziest answers to that question.
It is true. I literally, it's so much fun when I get to ask people that and just see what they come up with. People try to get creative, try to get funny, try to think of answers that won't cause my ire, and none of it really works. There have been a very small handful of answers in all the episodes we've done that I've actually said, fair answer, that is an appropriate response. Usually I have some way to critique what they say, because I think a lot of people have some very idiotic tendencies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you think the show brings out in people when they have to be put to these tests, whether they're doing the test solo or they're doing it later on in the game head-to-head? What do you think that the show brings out about people and their nature?
I think it shows you a lot. I think it shows you for sure how people handle pressure. I think it shows you how people's sense of logic works, how people's brain works. It shows you, I think, really more than anything, how people do operate under pressure. It's very interesting to see them. And there's sometimes in the earlier round a very easy question that they answer staring them right in the face. They just need to touch it. And they just freak out and they poke some guy in the crotch in the arch who's not even really part of the question. He's just like some flourish there. You see some people that in those instances crumble, and you see some people that come through with flying colors during moments like that. And during the rounds where you're playing with your partner, or the round rather, you see how people react. You see who's more dominant in that pair, who's more submissive. It gets very interesting. You see people's dynamics, you see how competitive people are. You see also in a lot of ways how witty these people are, because I'm definitely throwing some odd statements at them, and it's cool to interact. Sometimes the contestants are very clever back.
Hmm. Who are your favorite contestant or contestant pair so far?
Say that again?
Who's your favorite contestant or your favorite contestant pair so far?
Wow, that is a good question. Favorite. I really enjoyed the episode we did last season where we had a mother and daughter from Texas, and they were both lovely and talked about how they do have guns, but they didn't have guns on them, and invited me to their ranch back in Texas for a great barbecue. They were very lovely. There was a contestant season one who looked like a James Bond villain, and he and I created this great rivalry throughout the episode where I was James Bond, and he had to call me Mr. Bond, and it was a lot of fun. This season, I don't want to ruin the surprises, but the nude episode was one of my all-time favorites. One side of the stage particularly was my favorite over the other.
I saw the Bond episode. I thought that the way that you worked with him, the byplay, was just wonderful and a lot of fun.
Which one? Oh, the Bond episode?
The Bond episode.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I also really enjoyed when we had the contestant season one who did impressions, and he and I got to battle our impressions back and forth because I started as an impressionist. And then this coming season, I also really enjoyed having our celebrity episodes because not only did we have people that you recognize, but a lot of them were my friends. So it was really cool to have, like, we had the cast of Undateable for one episode coming up this season. And Rick Glassman is a dear friend. He's just an insane person. Things get insane. They get crazy on the stage. You'll see some moments you've never seen on our show before. We have a Chelsea Lately reunion episode. So my old friends I used to be on Chelsea's show with come on and compete at my game. Some of my closer friends have been on coming up this season. Jade Cotta-Preta from Girl Code. And Jeff Dye comes on an episode. And Sarah Tiana and Sarah Colonna and Josh Wolf and Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood and Glozelle. I mean, we just have a lot of really fun people coming up. Tiffany Haddish from Carmichael's show has been an old friend, and a lot of comedians come on, and it's cool to see them try their hand at the test. And they're not always great at it. More often than not, they're not great at it.
Have you seen that impression? I remember the episode from the first season with the impressionist, and you were like going stride by stride. You were going stride by stride with each other. Is he going to, you ever thought about maybe bringing contestants back for like a redemption episode or for like new battle for maybe $20,000 rather than the $10,000 prize?
I'm certainly open to it. If we are fortunate enough to get a fourth season, I think that would be really, really fun to do. I always like people to get a chance at redemption. Our whole society is all about redemption and giving people a second chance. So that sounds like a fun idea to me. As far as the increased prize, you got to talk to GSN about that. That is not my purview. That is above my pay grade for sure.
Okay, David Goodhill, president of GSN, are you listening? If not, live on replay, that is a good idea. So at least one episode, the prize money. Hey, third season, fourth season, it deserves it. Ben Green is the host and executive producer of Idiotech, and it starts season number 3 on GSN on Tuesday nights, 10 to 11 o'clock Eastern Pacific Time, 2 hour episodes back-to-back starting April 12th. Ben's live with us live from Los Angeles. I'm in New York. We're separated by coast, but who cares? On this April Fool's Day, 2016, Simon Applebaum with you live on Smarty Televised. If you have a question or comment for Ben, ring it in, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Rick Webb, our friend from Philly, still in the room. And finally, for today on our program, we have a 90-minute edition for you. We're going to kick it off with former MTV executive Tony DeSanto. He is now producing a show featuring one of the top YouTube stars of the moment, Ed Bassmaster. The Ed Bassmaster show premieres later this month on CMT, and I understand Tony may bring us a surprise guest on his segment because he's going to lead it off. It should be a lot of fun. Then we will also have David George. He's the executive producer of the new Fox series, American Grit. It's a new competition series in the great outdoors starring WWE champion John Cena. And finally, we'll introduce you to one of CNBC's new personalities. Her name is Farnoosh Torabi, and she is the person who follows the leader. The leader we're talking about, some of the biggest entrepreneurs in the world. Follow the leaders on CNBC, and Farnoosh Torabi will be with us. That's next Friday, 90-minute edition, 3 to 4:30 Eastern. That's noon to 1:30 Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. When we first met, Ben, one of the things I talked about was the idea that Idiot Test, it seems like a natural for schools to use. Great way for kids to develop themselves in a fun way, logically, reasoning skills, and so forth. And in part, you've now had some kids episodes on, and you were saying that at the time last year that the kids just do really great. They really get the puzzles. They have a lot of fun, too. Any of that? I think,
there.
Ben? There you go.
I'm sorry. You were just saying that question. You just cut out a little bit there. I lost you for a second.
I was just saying that, you know, Idiot Test comes off as a really natural tool for schools to use, for teachers to use, a great way for kids to develop their learning skills, their skills as teamwork, skills in terms of developing puzzles. But, you know, while we're still waiting for the teachers' community to get involved with that, you've had kids on your show as teens, and they've done quite well.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that would be really cool. I mean, some of our episodes get maybe slightly risque to have played at school itself, unless maybe for high school students it would be fine. But a lot of parents watch the show with their kids. I get tweets a lot, people saying, I can't solve your puzzles, but my 9-year-old beats me at the test. So I think definitely the tests themselves could certainly be used for educational reasons, for sure.
And guess what, Ben? We have a call. We're going to take it. Hello, you're on to Marvin Tallline. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Simon. It's Rick Webb calling from Philadelphia.
We're good to have you. Happy April 1st to you. And you're on the line with Ben Gleeve, so go for it.
Hey, Ben. I'm a big fan of yours for a while, and I know that you have a bit of in your stand-up, you do a lot of improv and stuff like that. So I'm really interested in your process for, like, how you host the show. I've read that you actually play the game before yourself just so that you have the experience of going through each puzzle yourself. But then from there, like, do you take notes on what jokes you think might pop up? Or, like, what's your process, and do you get feedback from the other executive producers and stuff on, like, whether you're too rough sometimes with certain people, or like, oh, you could have did this joke maybe next time? Like, what's your process?
Yeah, thanks for the question. Well, firstly, season one, I would just take the test before the episodes, and then I got much more hands-on involved, and I helped create the test now, and I'm involved in the production of every test, really, and so I'm working with our writing staff and our graphic artist teams and the other executive producers for a couple of months before we tape. So I don't have to review them really even. I review them briefly just to make sure I remember exactly where the test landed, but I helped create them. So that is very fun for me. It's a challenge I never thought I would have in my career to create brain puzzles. I didn't think that, you know, it's not typically the path for comedians, but so that's that part. And then as far as what I do on stage, you know, backstage, J. Chris Newberg, he's my host producer. He's the one writer that we have on the show that, other than me, I write a lot of episodes, and then Chris writes a lot of episodes as far as the script that goes, you know, top of show and in and out of commercials. And then he pre-interviews the contestants and finds out interesting things about them, and will sometimes feed me like a fact or two about them that might be fun to explore in my interviews. But as far as jokes, it's pretty much just improvised in the moment. And I, like you said, in my act, I always improvise with people by talking to them in the moment. And I think that's the best comedy comes from those moments. So I just like to sit in the pocket, talk to them, and then find opportunities for me to pounce in a loving way, but I pounce.
Very cool. Yeah, you definitely have a nuance to it, and it's pretty awesome. So digging the show, and I'm definitely going to be watching the new year. So congrats and best wishes.
Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that.
Absolutely. Thanks, Simon. Have a great weekend.
You too, Rick. All the best. Rick Webber, our good friend from Philadelphia, on Tomorrow Be Televised. Has anyone come up with a second answer for a test in any of the episodes you've done so far, where there was one answer you were going for a particular idiot test, and the contestant actually comes up with a second answer that actually, when you think about it, worked?
Nobody has ever done it, thank God. Season one, there were a couple of tests only where I saw a second answer that would be acceptable, I thought, and nobody noticed it, and it was a less obvious answer, luckily. And so the person didn't think twice about it. They never saw what I saw. But that's also a big part of why I got involved in creating the test, is I didn't want to, you know, have to go on TV and then, you know, make jokes to somebody when I myself didn't 100% have the ability to vouch for every single test. Just it's important for me to have that kind of integrity with what I was doing on air. So
hopefully we aren't creating tests with double answers in that way. We go to great lengths to make sure that doesn't happen.
You have a special this year coming up, political India test. How is that going to go, and when are we going to see that?
Very excited about it. April 20th at 11 p.m., 10 Eastern, 11, 10 Central, right after the premiere of Season 3 of Skin Wars. We have a spin-off of our show. It's a totally different format, different set, different rules, different vibe. The whole thing is going to be, instead of four contestants, it'll just be two contestants, political pundits, one on the left, one on the right. And we're going to use our brain test that'll be politically themed and also new games as a launching pad for brief, fun, but hopefully also informative and interesting political discussions that will try to shed some light on this insane election season. As we all know, this is one of the most insane in modern history, courtesy largely of Donald Trump. And so we are going to have a lot of fun with the campaign while hopefully also having a bit of a thoughtful political discussion. And we've partnered with PopSugar, which is this amazing website. It's a huge destination for millennials. And they're our production partner on this. So we're hopefully reaching a newer and wider audience as well. It'll be very fun special we're doing for the network. And hopefully we'll get to do more if it's received well.
And given, as you said, the craziness of the race, and it just keeps getting crazier by the day, certainly this week is a great example. Are you going to tape it close to air date, or have you already taped it?
We're not taping it close to air date, Sam. We're taping it on air date. It's another huge different thing for our show. We're taping it the same day on April 20th that we air to make sure it is as fresh politically as possible.
Ooh, great. Maybe that'll lead to Idiot Test. If we go season four, maybe Idiot Test Live.
I don't know if we could do a whole season of Idiot Test Live. That would be quite a challenge, but we could certainly do an episode here and there live. That would be easy to do. That would be a lot of fun.
Now, live is in these days. Hey, Stephen Colbert did it. We got Grease Live just at the Passion with Tyler Perry. Live is in. Live is hot these days.
I'm into it. I'm a big fan of live. I'm live with you right now. I enjoy it. I'm comfortable live. I live my life live, so it's easy for me to continue that onto a camera.
Yep. You and, 350-something million people on the U.S. part of the planet last time we checked. One other thing before you go, have you ever thought about doing an April Fool's
Strong
episode?
Point.
You know, Price is Right does it every year now. Let's Make a Deal did it. This morning, Let's Make a Deal had, like, Wayne Brady at one point be the model, and Tiffany Coyne was the host, and Jonathan Magnin was doing all over the place. On Price is Right, they ask people to spot all the big and small mistakes, and then they'll email or they'll social media the results, and the winner gets a Costa Rica trip. But I'm curious if you ever thought about doing an April Fool's episode.
We did it. Our season premiere last year, season two, was an April Fool's episode. And the show opened, and instead of me being there at the test, Brooke Burns was there as the host and told everybody she was the new host of Idiot Test. And people freaked out. They thought that I was fired, and they thought she was the new host. And then throughout the rest – and Brooke's a dear friend. I'm so happy for her Emmy nomination. And then the rest of the episode, we had a ton of pranks. Brooke came back in the third act dressed as me – with a wig and my suit on, and we had a bunch of pranks on the contestants. We told them they got tests wrong when they got them right. We had it was just a very, very fun episode. I would love to do more of it.
I think the guy who plays the Beast, I think he'd like that too. I want to get that. I get on that show. Let me see what I can do with those tests. That'd be fun to put him in.
I'm a big fan of Mark Labette too. He's a great guy. What's that?
I think Mark would be fun to have on the show just to see how good he is in terms of seeing things visual as opposed to just getting questions.
Yeah, I would love to do it. We've talked about it. People on Twitter requested it. Mark said he was down. I have seen him play them, however, at Upfront before we launched season one of Idiot Test. We had the GSN talent play a few Idiot Tests with me in front of the press, and Mark was great at it. He nailed them pretty quickly.
Good for you. Good for him, too. Idiot Test, season number 3. Catch it. It's dynamite. April 12th, 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. Two half-hour episodes back-to-back. It all starts April 12th, again, 10 to 11 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on GSN. Check your local list for where GSN is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, go to GSN.com. And don't forget, later in the month, take right on the same day, Political Idiot Test, hopefully the first of many such specials to come. Ben, it's a pleasure to have you. Congratulations on Season 3. Congratulations on Dana Colbert winning the Emmy nomination for Best Director, hopefully, if all goes good, next month.
Yeah.
With the Emmy nomination, with the Emmy Awards, by the way, Jason Awards in Los Angeles. He wins, you win, the show wins. And that would be a great, great way to have Season 3 go.
That would be so wonderful. Fingers crossed for Dana, for sure. Thank you so much for having me on, Simon. It was great being on with you.
Your pleasure, Ben. Anytime. Take care. Have a wonderful weekend and great start to Season 3.
Thank you, my friend. Take care.
You too. Ben Lee, the host and executive producer of Idiot Test, joining us live from Los Angeles. More tomorrow's televised coming away shortly, but right now, applause for some thoughts from Audible.com. If you're a fan of pop music, you know, music like the Captain Tennille, well, Audible.com is a great way to hear some of the best pop music around, or the best music anywhere for that matter. And that's just some of the more than 180,000 titles that are available to you at any time, 24/7. That's why Audible.com is a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and yes, inspiration. And you can listen to Audible.com audiobooks on any device, including whatever you are listening to us right now here on this April Fool's Day on Blog Talk Radio. Guess what? If you sign up at this URL, audibletrial.com/televised, that's audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook and a one-month trial of the service. And if you're a Captain Tennille fan, try this one. Tony Tennille, A Memoir, just came out at audiobook at audible.com. And also another great audible.com title that's new, Junk, Digging Through America's Love Affair with Stuff, by the wonderful correspondent formerly of MTV News and the PBS series Need to Know, Allison Stewart. Always love her work. I think you'll like what she does with her audio rendition of her new book, Junk, Digging Through America's Love Affair with Stuff. That's just some of the 180,000 titles you can choose from 24/7. And remember, because it's an Amazon company, you know Audible gives you great customer service whenever you get involved. So get that one free audio book, the one-month trial of service, audibletrial.com/televised. audibletrial.com/televised. Give it a go. You will not be disappointed. When we come back, our classic trivia question of the week and some thoughts about a milestone for March Madness. We'll get to all of that after we pause after the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, your home for the best internet radio on the planet. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for the award-winning series World Footprints. Go around the world with sound on World Footprints. Every week, various times, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best of BTR available to you 24/7 at YouTube.com. And you can also check out the iTunes Podcast app. Hear our program and other Blog Talk Radio series 24/7 using Apple TV 2.0. Just check out the new iTunes Podcast app. It's available from your Apple Store or online. Welcome back to Modern Televised April Fool's Day 2016 edition. No fooling. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Happy to have you aboard. Welcome to Executive Ed Gleeb, host and now executive producer of Idiot Test, the wonderful game you can catch weeknights on GSN, specifically Tuesday nights. And the new season number 3, begins on April 12th at 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. Anyway, we're delighted to have you with us. If you have a question or comment about the world of television, you can still ring in, as Rick Webb did last half hour, at 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. A March Madness thought or two, milepost edition, but first time for the answer to this week's classic trivia question. Unfortunately, we didn't get away this week, so we're not going to be awarding Nobody Dies in Hollywood, the great first novel by John Wilder, the acclaimed TV writer-producer of Streets of San Francisco and Spencer for Higher Fame. The question that we actually had it both last week and this week, was this. Complete this Good Times theme lyric. Easy, blank. Easy, blank. You might remember the lyric before, which was temporary layoff, good times, easy credit ripoff, good times. Yep, that's the one. Easy credit ripoff. That was the answer to this week's classic trivia question. So, no winner this week, but we'll try again next week. We'll have a new question for you on Monday's episode. And if you know the answer, just email me with it. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget in the email, enclose your name and your mailing address so we can get you the prize ASAP. If Reverse with the answer, you win. You can also use Twitter to give us the answer. Just use this hashtag for your tweet. It's TWBT. That's Twitter hashtag TWBT. The Twitter options always made available are the fine folks at Hopscotch, the folks that invite you to create your own social soundtrack. Learn how at www.hopscotch.com. So be part of our Clappers Trivia Question of the Week. Hear the question on Monday and respond. If you're not around for Monday, don't worry, we'll post the question on our homepage on Tuesday. And also, that's my Facebook homepage, and also my own Twitter hashtag at UBCSimonTWBT. So that's UBCSimonTWBT. So listen in or find us on Facebook and Twitter, play along, get involved, and win a prize. That's all there is to it. Well, this weekend, of course, is the big March Madness culmination. It is the Final Four and the final game of the NCAA Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament. And if you're looking for CBS this Monday to see the final game, I'm sorry to say you won't find it there. You will find it for the first time on cable through TBS. And it's a big milepost because it's the first time that the NCAA Final Four and Final Championship game are not all running on television. They are running, not broadcast at least, they're running on cable for the very first time. And it is the first time ever in the history of the NCAA men's or women's tournament being televised that the men's tournament has not been carried, the culmination of it, has not been carried on a broadcast network. You got to go way, way back to get that because the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship has been a broadcast network staple since the mid-1970s. And it just goes to show that, yes, we are in an era where some of the major sports have their major championships carried on cable, not broadcast. Whether it's college football, now college basketball, the tennis championships like Wimbledon and the U.S. Open, some of the golf tournaments like the British Open, they are basically now cable staples, not broadcast. And we'll see if that continues, whether we see the Super Bowl at some point go cable or go Netflix or go Amazon, et cetera, or go smart TV sets. Whether we'll see the World Series do that, despite the fact that the other playoff games, Stanley Cup, same thing, where the entire Stanley Cup playoff is still on a broadcast network, NBC in its current case. We'll see. But for March Madness, this is a turning point, and I'm interested to see how TBS does with the final game all to itself. Again, thank you, Ben Gleave and Indytech, for being on our show today. Coming up Monday on Tomorrow We Televise, we will have one of the key producers of the new TBS series, America's Greatest Makers. It's from Mark Burnett's stable at MGM, and it's a show where teams of inventors get the chance to buy for $1 million. Intel is a major sponsor and involvement in the program, and we will have executive producer Dean Houser with us on the first half of the show. On the second half of the hour, we will go to Denver, and we'll hear about the new BYU TV series, Random Acts of Kindness. Think of it as a prank show with a heart. We'll have producer Tom Morell and co-host Will Rubio. And then Friday on Tomorrow We Televise, 1 week from today, former MTV executive Tony DeSanto will be with us. He is now an independent show producer, and his latest work is the Ed Bassmaster Show featuring the popular YouTube star. And I understand from Tony, he may bring someone along for the ride, and that will be our first guest. Then, from the new Fox series, American Grit, the competition series with WWE superstar John Cena hosting, executive producer David George. And finally, we'll meet someone new in the CNBC fold. She's journalist Farnoosh Torabi, and she is the host of the new CNBC series, Follow the Leader, where Torabi is following the leadership of some of the greatest entrepreneurs in the world. That's all coming up a week from today, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. If you came in today's program late, or if you've just joined us to hear us regularly and you want to catch up on episodes you missed, well, here's how you do it. You go to our homepage, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Don't forget, you can also catch me here in the New York area Monday afternoons on BK Live. That's the noontime talk variety hour about all things Brooklyn and beyond the borders. And coming up on Monday, I'll have a special guest with me at our studio near the Barclays Center. It's Khadijah Carter. She's the new communications strategist for the New York City Police Department. They're working on a video outreach that may go television. Khadijah will be with us to showcase what that outreach is all about. That's this coming Monday, April 4th, from noon to 1 on BRIC TV. If you're in New York City and you're a Verizon Fido subscriber, you can get it anywhere in the Big Apple. And if you're in Brooklyn, you can catch us on Time Warner Cable. Cable Vision Systems, and RCN. And we also post the segment and the program the next day at youtube.com/BRICTV. That's youtube.com/BRICTV. You can also catch me online with Tomorrow Be Televised columns and upfront news and views at MediaVillage.com, the wonderful media analysis and commentary site hosted by Jack Myers. That's MediaVillage.com. Posted my new column just today on the recent fall season preview of the Scripps Networks here in New York, Break Time at Alice Telly Hall, dealing with Home and Garden Television, HGTV, Food Network, Cooking Channel, and other services. That's all for you at MediaVillage.com. Oh, before we go, on this April Fool's Day 2016, someone else I know who's not fooling about where he's at today that I want to give a shout-out to is David Rubin in Clarksville, Maryland. David is the wonderful husband of my sister, Stephanie Applebaum Rubin, and he is celebrating his birthday today. So happy birthday on your April 1, David. All the greatest to you and your family and much, much, much more. And yes, you have been served right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. We love hearing from you. So email me. Love to hear. So check us out. What do you have to say about today's program, about Idiot Test? Ben Glebe, the host and executive producer. What's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it is going? We love to hear. I'm all ears. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please include your name and where you're from. I do return emails in 24 hours. And remember, that's the way you get involved in our classic trivia question of the week. That's also the way you get involved in our ongoing feature, A Show to Know. If it's a TV show that you think deserves attention, or a TV network for that matter, let me know. If we use your suggestion on the air, of course you get the credit. At simonapple04@yahoo.com. You can also find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. However you communicate, we appreciate it because in this neck of the woods, what you say matters on April Fool's Day or any time. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associates are Amy DiMestico and Candace Williams. Andy Toth, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, the creator and chief executive is Mr. Alan Levy. Tomorrow We Televised is brought to you today by Audible.com. They are a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment, information, and inspiration, and they are an Amazon company. But Tomorrow We Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening on this April Fool's Day 2016. Remember, we love hearing from you, so hear from us. Be safe and be great. Have a wonderful weekend, and that's no fooling about that. And we will catch you back here Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio. Until the next time, stay well, and no fooling, stay tuned.